for me, I just got to the point to go, hey, I can really help people now. This is something that, you know, I have a lot of street credit. I live it. I have been working with clients for 10 years, have all their experiences that can weave in what helps. And so for me, it was just getting to a point to go, okay, I still might not feel ready, but it's time. It is more important to put this out than to continue to hold on to it. And once I made that decision, it was a very quick process.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed, courtesy of the wonderful PodcastGuest.com. Another wonderful site out there for podcast guests who can get on podcasts and for podcast hosts who want to have the chance to be meeting some wonderful freaking humans, because we got a wonderful human who made it through the giant, wonderful needle in the haystack of freaking 300 freaking pitches, because today's wonderful freaking guest, you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat five times over, indeed, because today's wonderful, wonderful member of the business of immortality is a mom, a wife, a professional speaker, as well as a leadership and a positive psychology certified coach. So let's give it up for the sensational and outstanding Stacy Olson. How you doing today, Stacy?
I'm doing wonderful. I am so excited to be here, and thank you for having me. How are you today?
Doing fabulous indeed. That's right indeed. What a capital F even. That's right indeed. Even if it's in the middle of a sentence, put a capital letter on it for just all the frills. That's right. That's how fabulous it is. Oh, man. But hey, as with all introductions, I'm not allowed to share the whole story that probably covered, I don't know, metaphorically, probably acknowledgments of the book. So my feeling is still of how you became the fabulous lady that you are today?
That's a fascinating question. A lot of it is I used to be working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, really struggling with my corporate career and 3 kids at home, and could show up pretty good in my work. My family was getting the worst side of me. And this is kind of the journey that led to writing the book. When I was in it, I decided I'm going to start keeping some boundaries, and I'm going to learn how to say no. And it really started me on this journey of learning that, because I cut my hours tremendously cold turkey in my corporate career, and I thought, oh, I'm going to tank my career. And then I learned, oh, I actually started to perform better. And I learned how to say no and focus on the right things and didn't feel like such a hot mess on the inside because I was taking back some time for me and my family. And it really started to open my eyes up to a different way we can approach how we work and how we live, and learned how to be more balanced in my life. And that's what I help others with well now, and help coach them and to be more present in life and to have boundaries that work for you and align with your values. And so anyways, how did I become this? I think I lived the messiness of it. I really struggled with it, which, you know, a lot of authors do, and figured out some things and then learned the science and training behind it. And I guess who I am though is, you know, being present in my life and being the parent I want to be and being the leader I want to be. And that takes doing some work, and that takes giving yourself some space. so you can think clearly and focus on the right things. So everything I write about and share about, I also live myself. I think that's one thing I really want anyone on the other end of the book or a social media post or even just having a conversation with to feel like you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. We all struggle with some of these things and there's something you can do about it. You don't need to just settle for feeling burnt out or spread thin or doubting yourself every day. So walking my talk is a big part of what I do and who I am as well.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's why I like you, what you do, because you're all about the authenticity for real. Shoot, reminds me of that story you probably shared multiple times about having to inform one of your fellow dick hair moms at the time, like, hey, this may appear to be a power couple, but here's the real scoop, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's veneers, baby. That's right, D. That's right, D. Yeah, it's crazy out here, shoot. Like, especially for those who probably, especially had the people-pleasing gene or whatever, especially being a busy mom and a wife. It's like, hey, I want to be the best ever. And then it's like, hey, yep. I'm a corporate woman, too, a corporate person, too. It's like, hey, I got to give my best here, too. And it's like, well, 60, 80 hours a week here, not including commute time and back and forth and preparation time. It's like, hey, I'm pretty much able to get home. It's like, all right. They're getting the worst of me. I think they're getting the best, but they're getting the worst. And it's like, oh, whoops. Let me put this mirror in front of me real quick and change some activity, some habits, if you will.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. And if I'm not mistaken, you made the jump from corporate after a while when you started setting those boundaries, right?
Yeah, that's when I did the boundaries when I was in my corporate career, the thick of it, the most demanding time, got a promotion, leading team, and I really got to a better place. The part I had not figured out when I left my corporate career was the mental side of things. I still worried a lot what people would think. I still felt guilty when I would say no to someone. My mind was still racing with everything I need to do, even though I had the good boundaries and was protecting my time and energy. And so then I left my corporate career. When I left, I didn't really have a plan. It was a story I tell in the book. I think I talked about it for a while. And one day I came back from summer vacation about 10 years now ago. And I said to my husband, I think I'm going to give my notice. He's like, and for years, he said, no, you work at a great company and you have a great job and great people and you're paid really well. No. And this time he said, yeah, I think you should. You've talked about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, ooh, do I really want to do this? Because I liked what I was doing and I had more time and space and it was really good. I took a week to think about it. And then I decided, yeah, I'm going to do it. And what drove that is really I didn't want to be that person who waited for something really bad to happen or something tragic to happen for me to go, oh, I'm missing my life. And that was kind of my deeper reason why I wanted to, because I hadn't learned how to be mentally present yet. I think my intuition was leading me to do this work and, you know, help people in a different way. But yeah, I left and I had the only plan was to figure out a plan and started coaching people and working with people and thought, and you know, a lot of people struggled with the same things I did. And so started to work with people in that space and help them with it and got into speaking. And when I left my corporate career, I always had this, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book about what I experienced, what helped. And then it took a few years before I got to the point to go, okay, now I'm ready to put this out in the world and kind of learned a bit more about why I was able to do that and what helped. And now do this.
Me luck indeed. The plan was to have a plan. That's funny. First time I heard that.
The plan was to figure out a plan. Yeah, there's lots of people who think, oh my gosh, this was the big master plan to do this. And it's like, nope, it was, you know, let's figure it out.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Sorry, trying to figure out how to get this darn trapezoid in a square hole again. It's like, well, maybe not again since the first time thing. So my goodness, how's that transition part looking like at the time? Like, what helped you to finally feel like you got some concrete under you after making the leap?
You know, the interesting thing was, so one thing is I thought it would be a very easy transition. I thought, you know, anything I did in my corporate career, I would excel at. You give me any project, I know I can do it. And then I thought it would just be the same thing. I got a goal, this is what I'm doing, easy. And then I learned, oh, there's a bit more work that goes into this. And it maybe takes longer for people to see the results you're trying to create. And so I think that was one thing. And then you're wearing all the hats. I didn't have an IT department or a marketing department or HR to call if I needed something or finance. And so that was another thing, wearing all the hats. And so just learning to how to set up my days in a way that I could be focused and move things forward. And maybe when you weren't seeing those tangible results, to continue going. An interesting thing I really found is there's this idea that when you start your own business, a lot of people do it for freedom and flexibility, which, you know, was definitely a reason. I was surprised just how much advice I got to, you got to hustle. You need to, don't volunteer for your kids' stuff. Get your husband to do stuff. You're going to have to put in long hours for 2 or 3 years till you get your business up and running, then you can take this time for your personal life. And for me, that was one thing I really sat back with. Like, I just learned this lesson. I just learned that, you know, I'm not going to wait until the project's done or the business is successful to create the life I want. And so for me, from day one, I think you hear it a lot more in business and entrepreneurship now, where people are kind of stepping out of the hustle mentality and being more intentional with your life. Back then, in marketing groups I was in and other entrepreneur groups, I was kind of the odd man out who, from day one, I said, I want to grow my business and I want it to fit with the lifestyle I want and the boundaries I want. And so for me, from day one, it's always, how do I grow and be there for my family and do the things I enjoy? And even taking off, I take off most of July every year. And now it's easier to do because the business is doing well and up and running. But at the start, that was a bit of a scary thing to do, to go, well, I could be making money. I could, you know, if I take this break, what's it going to mean? But coming back to bigger, okay, what are my values? What's the life I want to live? For me, it's, you know, being at the lake and the kids are off school, and that's part of that. And then go, okay, and then when we're back from that, how do we focus on growing business and being there for clients? So I think it was a tougher transition than I expected, you know, more like wearing the hats. And I think the mental piece of it was a big, like staying in a good mindset. And I think a big thing was just being intentional from day one. So now I can look back and, you know, I'm happy how I grew my business. I don't feel like I missed out on part of my life doing that. And that's, you know, been a very intentional way of going about it. Now, could I be further along? Could I have a bigger business if I hadn't done that? Maybe. I don't know. But for me, and this is what with clients and, you know, what does success look like for you? What leaves you feeling happy and that you are focused on the right things that are important to you? And so for me, that was, how do I grow my business and be there with my family and be present and enjoy some downtime too? So yeah, still figuring it out too.
So there we go. So she was able to get the trapezoid in the hole, but now we're figuring out the pentagon and the circle hole. All right. Gotcha. So I can get all the figures. But I feel you though, because it's true. Because like the hustle, yeah, it's still some element of it you need. It's like, hey, you still can't just lay around and be lazy, but also it's like, hey, don't grind yourself back in the dust in an early grave too. Because it's like sometimes you gotta keep peace of mind at the forefront too, because like, hey, it's gonna be uphill either way. It is gonna be worthwhile, but hey, make sure you take care of
Absolutely.
yourself on the climb.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So, my goodness, they had the goal of writing the book for years, and you're finally able to get it done back in 2024. So, what helped you to get inspired to do just that and actually make it to the finish line and get it published?
Yeah, it was, like I said, I had been thinking about writing it for a long time, wrote blogs for a long time, and it was always, this year I'll do it, or, you know, this year I'll do it, and the year would go by, and I wouldn't do it. And what finally got was just, I think part of it was just really, I think we can get stuck in this, I'm not ready. You know, maybe you need to have a bigger title or, you know, more followers or a bigger audience, and then we'll do it. And I just got to the point to go, hey, I can really help people now. This is something that, you know, I have a lot of street credit. I live it. I have been working with clients for 10 years, have all their experiences that can weave in what helps. And so for me, it was just getting to a point to go, okay, I still might not feel ready, but it's time. It is more important to put this out than to continue to hold on to it. And once I made that decision, it was a very quick process. I'm someone who I might think about something for a while. And then once you decide, it's like, okay, we are all in, let's go. And so it was, once I actually decided I was doing it, it was about a 7-month process to write the book and to have it edited and the design and all that. And it was honestly the biggest project I've taken on since my corporate career. I feel like I was a project manager earlier on in my career, and I felt like I pulled out all those pieces to create it. But it was really, you know, okay, we're doing this. I went, interesting enough, I had gone to a leadership conference and they did this visualization and where do you see yourself? And for me, it was seeing, okay, June 2024, and this was the start of November, June 2024, I'm sitting at the edge of the lake and I got my book in my hand and it's done, it's published. And I took that as, okay, that's my deadline. And so that's the deadline I worked towards. You know, it was more work than I expected, as I'm sure you know. You get into it, it's like, whoa, this. And even, you know, you create it and then it goes to an editor and it comes back and it's like, oh, we have some more work to do here. So it was a very intense process, I would say. It was also a process where I wanted to go through it with some joy and enjoyment and still keep my boundaries. And so I practiced what I preach as I went through it. And so again, other than a couple weekends where you had a big deadline with an editor that it felt like it was stressful and tight, but, you know, created it and did it and put it out there. And, you know, it's one of those things that I can look back and go, oh, okay, you know, I could have kept working on this or working on that. But I think anybody gets to a point where you have to not keep holding, and this is for anyone listening, it probably will never feel like it's ready to do it. And it's just, you know, trusting yourself and putting out this work because you can help someone else. There is somebody who is struggling with what you struggled with or could really use the advice. And so I think just getting behind that, it's better to put this out than to continue to hold on to this. So that was, I kind of do my own work on myself, I think, because that's one thing, writing a blog or a social media post, you can always tweak it later. You could always delete it if you wanted. But putting a book, it is out there. It is out there for people to love it, for people to not like it. And just, I had to be okay with that to go, okay, it's more important to put this piece of work out than to, you know, hold on or worry what people will think. And so it's kind of some of my process with it.
Me luck indeed. It's right indeed. One of the best dumb misses on the earth. So the deadline puts a dead end on procrastination. You're able to get that deadline, get it done. You love to see it. That's what I'm talking about. That's right indeed. Miss PMP right here, project manager, professional extraordinaire, y'all. She's like, yeah, That's right, indeed. It ain't official at someone else's company. It's official for me and my life now, player. That's right, indeed. That's right. I get stuff done, dangum. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, so what you learned about yourself through the whole process?
It's a really good question. Oh, that's a great question. What did I learn about myself? I learned that I didn't realize how much, kind of that inner work I had to do, I didn't realize how much resistance I would feel to putting it out. Because again, I had been writing for many years and blogs and stuff, so I thought it would just be easy to take all the ideas. And I did not anticipate that internal resistance to go, oh, do I really want to share this story? Is my advice really good enough? Is this really going to help someone? And the answers to those questions were yes, like it was, but I had to do some work on myself. And so just learning to embrace that more, embrace my voice more and what I could share and how I could help people, I had to kind of go to a new level with that to do it. So that's something I didn't anticipate that. And then I had to learn kind of that inner confidence to go, okay, yeah, this is good and this can help someone. And then the other piece of that is a big thing I learned is because you have so many other voices. And I heard this on a recent podcast you were talking about that you got to be mindful of who you open the door for. And so I had a lot of advice from people. There was a lot of advice on writing a book and how to tell a story and what to put in it, how many chapters. And so there was a lot. And for me, I really had to learn to come back to, okay, there's all this great advice. Now, what is my intuition telling me? What do I believe is the next right move? And even to stand up for a bit of what I believed was important. There was one paragraph in the book that I had not explained clearly enough the point I was trying to make. And both the editor and both my husband, who is a writer as well, and so he was reviewing it too, they said, you know what, just take this paragraph out. I said, no, this is such an important point. And so if I'm not articulating it clearly enough, we need to spend some time on it. We spent hours on one paragraph, but that was something both of them were, just cut it. And I said, and my intuition was like, no, we don't cut it. We need to work on this to make it clear. Thankfully, it was only one paragraph that really got, you know, tripped us up that much. But it is one paragraph that when people read the book now, they come back and they go, oh, yes, this is what captures a big challenge in companies and what people wrestle with. And that was kind of the, you know, work-life balance and we need more resources and that. They seem like they're at odds, but they actually, I wanted to articulate how you, because if you prioritize work-life balance, then you don't lose your good resources and people can actually be more effective. And so I really wanted to touch on that, but that came with, I got a lot of pushback to take that out. And I said, no, then we need to figure out how to tell the story. So I think that is one of the big things I learned is how to feel good about putting it out and not let the worry about what will people think and how will it be received to hold me back. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. And so that's why I'm sharing it as well. So people can, you know, you might feel that. I always say the fear and the worry, they might be there, but they're in the passenger seat. You are the driver. And to remember that. And then to be okay to push back where I needed to go, okay, let's figure out how to tell this piece, even if it might take a long time or longer than we expected. We really need to do that. And that was just a whole new level for me to learn to be okay to, you know, what's my voice? What is my intuition tell me in this? And then also be okay to take other advice too.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. Fun analogy there, fear being in the passenger seat, because that goes with good old negative self-talk. It's a bad backseat driver, too, so watch out.
Yeah, you got to be mindful of it.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. I was able to get your wonderful statue of David going. You love to see it. Had all that marvelous marble. It's like, hey, we got to get the nose right. Come on. Like y'all saying, get rid of the nose. No, the nose. We must chisel it. was right indeed perfected. It's like, all right, cool.
Yes.
It's finally here. That's right. Now the world can devour indeed. You love to see it indeed. So my goodness, and glad you put in an audio, and doubly glad you read it too. So my goodness, so is there going to be another book coming out of your brain anytime soon?
Yes, I have two books that are on my mind and my heart. And the next one that I want to write is, it didn't really come to life until after I put this book out. And it's to go deeper into one piece of it. What I've learned is, I talk about in a chapter this analogy of a carry-on. So what if your workday or your life is like an overstuffed suitcase right now, maybe even two, and you could only bring a carry-on? What would you pack? What would make the cut? More importantly, the question, what do you not have room for? And that analogy, and there's kind of a whole chapter on it, to getting clear on your priorities and what really matters and what matters less. Because if we're going to create more balance in our lives and with ourselves, we got to be okay to go, okay, what does really matter? And what are some of those things to let go of? But writing that is, I really had this, my intuition is, what's in your carry-on is the next book. And to really go deeper into your priorities and saying no. And that's one thing that, you know, I have a ton of flaws and things that, you know, to work on. One thing that people come back to me is that you're really good at making choices and making choices aligned with what really matters and focusing on the right things. How do you do that? And so for me, it's, how do I take that and go even deeper with people to help them get clear on that and work through that and make some of those, because it's not as simple to say, here are my things that are important and what do I do? It's like, how do you make those choices in the everyday messiness, or when, you know, you say this is important, but something really good comes up or something steals your attention. How do you make those choices in the moment? So that's one idea. That's kind of something that came after the book. And I'm like, I think I'm really learning to trust my intuition and what the downloads. And that's the thing, what's in your carry-on. So, you know, how to prioritize what matters most. And, you know, kind of that idea is the next book, to go deeper. And then there's this third book that is really more on, you know, still the theme of balance, but being more resilient and handling our stress and kind of that deeper. So I see that one is coming out. And so, but who knows, you know, but that's what I see right now. And I think it was a really wonderful experience writing something. So that's for anybody listening, you know, what's coming to you is coming to you for a reason, to share with the world. And I think the writing process is it can really help people. I think it can also help yourself to take your experiences and your stories and your advice and what can help people and put it into the written word. I think it's a very valuable experience to do, and it can really help other people. And so I think there was part of me when I got done this book, kind of when you have a baby and it's like, I don't know if I want to do that again. That whole labor thing was, you know, not the fun, but you get this great experience and you get to share, and there's a lot of great reward that comes with it. And so for me, I think after I put the book out, I'm like, okay, I'm good for a while. And now I'm getting to like, okay, yeah, I really have that urge to write new things and share new things and go deeper. And so I think it'll come out in another book too.
Me like indeed. And I was about to do a special giveaway, make some special carry-ons, a special edition, some, you can call it the SO special, the Stacey Olsen carry-on. That's right. First 50 who buy the book, or first 50 who buy 10 copies of the book, get a special carry-on.
There you go. That'll be the promo items with it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. And plot twist, to get a free copy of the first book, be like, hey buddy, this is gonna be your carry on too, buddy. You're gonna be all in Stacey's world now, buddy. It's gonna be in your brain.
There you go.
Oh man, I'm talking about indeed. I love that you mentioned resilience too, and that usually stems from dealing with setbacks. So my goodness, so with all the setbacks folks have to deal with, has there been one in your life or in your business that actually became a setup for your success?
Well, I would say the whole burning out in my corporate career, overworking, I think experiencing that, learning how to grow through it and approach your days and life in a different way. I mean, that's one thing, is that I never would have been able to write or share if I had not gone through that really harder time. So that was a really big setback, I would say, that has influenced the whole nature of my business and the work I do and how I live my life even today, to go, well, I don't want to go back and feel that way. So, you know, what can I do to help with that? I will say that the last 3 years, and I tell the story in book, my mom got seriously, suddenly very ill in 2021. It was very sudden, and she died. And she was 64 years old. And that was an experience. I hadn't really had an experience with grief before. You know, I was, my grandparents were still alive, and I was in my 40s. Like, I really hadn't lost a lot of people. And since then, there's been 8 really close people in my life that have passed away. And so for me, it, you know, I wouldn't say it's turned into a success now, but for me, it's been something that, going through those harder times, I think the old me would have been, I would have got really burned out, you know, caregiving and being there for people and grief. And I would have started being like, when I'm exhausted and run down, I'm not as pleasant of a person, when I'm not as mindful. Like, I think I would have had such a harder time going through that. But especially the time where I went, where I was caring for my mom and juggling that with business and kids, I really would stand back and go, okay, how do I practice what I preach here? What is my most important values? How do I take care of myself as I go through this harder time? Not drop those things. So even though I still would take my walk each day, I would still take some space to quiet my mind. I was, you know, working fewer hours some days because I needed more personal space. So it was like, how do I make those fewer hours count? You know, get closer to the heart of what really matters. And for me, it's something that really, because I think there was a little bit in the back of my head, would I be able to maintain all this when I was going through the really harder times? And I feel like I did. And it doesn't mean there wasn't, you know, tougher days and stuff, but I found going through that tougher time, caring for her and being there for her and losing other people, to staying aligned with my values, taking care of myself as I go through that, still keeping some boundaries. You know, I feel like I was able to navigate that. And so I always say, and I talk about in the book, that resilience and balance, to me, they go hand in hand. That when we take care of ourselves, we can navigate the tougher times and the harder moments in our day even with more grace and more ease and more calm. And then to be balanced, we need to be able to navigate those tougher times and not let it really derail us. So that was just something that has really, you know, this really does work. And it gives me, I think, even more when people, because everybody's struggling with something, they're having a hard time. When people are doing that, it's like, yeah, you can still do this. You can still take care of yourself. And it will be harder or easier, sorry, to go through that harder time. So that for me was a big thing, and just really anchoring in, you know, I'm really thankful I learned some of the things I learned, because, you know, I'm really happy how I showed up for my mom and my kids through that time. And the odd thing is, I've worked fewer hours over the last bit with, like, you know, having to give more space for some personal stuff. My business has grown in those times, without me intentionally trying to. And I keep going back to, I think it's because I just keep getting closer to the heart of what really matters. I'm dropping the whole 80-20 idea. It's like, I'm dropping the things that matter less, and I'm just focusing on what matter more. And so I think that's just a new lens I'm taking into my day and into my life, and how I can serve others is like, okay, how do we keep How do we not abandon ourselves and what we need in those times? How can we actually make it part of our everyday? And that's going to help us through our day and navigate the harder times, but even just busy everyday life, the messier moments in life when your kid has a meltdown and you're trying to get out the door in the morning or whatever it might be. So that's kind of the long answer to your question.
Ain't nothing wrong with long. We good with long here. Yeah, sure indeed. Sure indeed. It's either the cucumber coolness meter or the winter dog meter. Ain't nothing wrong with the five winter dogs. Right indeed. Sorry if you lost indeed, because that's definitely rough to have a snowball effect of losing your mom and then losing either the folks right after that. Shoot, like that's insane. Like it's definitely a new territory. I imagine it probably give you a bigger empathy muscle. I can imagine too for those who have been through some grief. Definitely rough.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's like you sit there, shoot, about when we take care of ourselves, we can handle tougher times, because it's true. It's like, hey, take good care of yourself in the moment. Start and deep prepare for stuff, you know. Be like, hey, you'll be all right. You'll have your metaphorical six-pack abs of resilience already. Start and deep. You're better prepared. Oh, man. Well, fun question for you, actually, shoot, before that one. So, my goodness, so since you've been on quite a few interviews, is there a question that you wish folks ask you more often?
A question that I wish people would ask me more often? Oh, that's a great one. I wish people would ask, it's what really matters most in the grand scheme of things. And the reason with that question is what matters most in the grand scheme of things, that'll be different for different people. I think sometimes when we talk about our goals and our boundaries and, you know, we want to keep balance or we want to say no, and those are all kind of means to an end. Like they're what we can do. Even taking care of ourselves, why are we taking care of ourselves? Why are we saying no to some things? Why are we focusing on the right things? And for me, it's to be present in your life. Knowing it's not perfect. We all have moments where, you know, we don't show up in the way we want or feel the way we want, and that's normal. But to be more present in your life and I think sometimes that gets missed in all the things we could be and all the things we can do. And it's like, what's really at the heart of it? And again, this is just my perspective. Other people might have something different that in the grand scheme of things. But for me, it's to be present for those moments that matter, to be present in my everyday. When I'm having a hard day, to be able to go, okay, what do I really need right now that can help with that? And I see it's something I really wish for other people too. I think people, you know, you can see get caught up in the busyness and being hard on themselves. And it's just, what if you just really step back and you gave yourself permission to be more present in your day and your life? What would you do? What would you focus on? How would you feel? What do you really need for that? So, you know, that might not be the answer or question you thought, but that is, for me, it's like, my motto these days is be present, not perfect. And so it's to really be present. And until we slow down a bit, until we bring that more intention to our day, we miss those moments that matter. We don't see them. And so I think ultimately that is, you know, if we want to be more feel happier and be more balanced in our life and feel more successful, a lot of it comes to really being present in your day and your life and then making those choices that are right for you. And that's something that, you know, I want people to know. It's not, you can keep a boundary, but if you're still not really able to enjoy a moment, or if you feel guilty all the time that you're keeping that, you're missing what's going on in the moment. And so that's ultimately what is, how can you be more present in your life? Not just physically, but also mentally, also knowing it's not perfect, and we all have, you know, our mind all gets the best of us sometimes, and yeah.
Yeah, it's right indeed, it's right indeed. It's right indeed, it happens to the best of us, definitely. It's like the classic joke, be like, yeah, I am here, but not mentally. It's right indeed. Mods elsewhere, but it's like, up the wrapping paper is somewhere else. I am not present.
Yeah. Well, and you miss enjoying what you're doing then. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling guilty about the thing you're doing, that's one thing that I encourage people, and I really practice myself. It's like, if I'm going to say no to something to protect this time, then I'm not going to feel guilty about it, because that guilt just steals your joy and enjoying the thing you actually want to do. And I think the more people can learn that, it's a game changer.
There you go. Where a bunch of coins appear out of nowhere, it's a game changer indeed. You love to see it. That's right indeed. Well, fun question for you. Your wonderful book, Your Balanced and Bold Life, Work Less, Live More, and Be Your Best. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
If it were a food, what would it be and why?
Yeah.
You ask great questions. I gotta say that. These are all brand new questions. If it were a food, I think it comes to a cake, is what comes to mind. It's that you have these different layers, and they're different flavors, and they're good. And so just this idea that, I don't know, I'll be honest, I don't know why a cake came to mind, but something around that idea of different layers, different flavors, and that you cut inside, you can see all, you know, especially if it's a really layered cake, you see this. And so I think it would be a cake. I think on the surface, people might just be like, I just need to keep some boundaries and it's all good. And it's like, no, seeing, no, there's more to that. There's more like learning to be present and that you can do it. It's not this big, huge sweeping thing. And that also, I kind of say the icing on the cake is one thing I say, is that when you do this for yourself, the icing on the cake is that you can perform better and you can lead stronger. And so maybe that's why the cake came to mind for me. But I think the different layers, the different flavors, even the idea that people are different. It's not, you know, there's not just one kind of cake. It's like different, but you know, how do you make sure you're eating the cake or baking the cake you want? I don't know. That's a very interesting question. I can say I've never, ever in my life been asked that question. So thank you.
My pleasure indeed. Right, indeed. They say books are food for the mind. Well, hey, here we go. That's right indeed. You're that right, folks. Stacy's got a 14-layer chocolate cake for you, y'all. That's right indeed.
That's right indeed.
As in your balance to bold life, baby. That's right indeed. Besides, that's bold by default. It ain't no regular run-of-the-mill cake. It's like 14 layers, 14 chapters. It's like you got to dig in. That's right. Get all the goodness in you. That's right indeed. If you're on the seesaw of your life, it's like, hey, how are we going to get perfect balance for a moment? And it's like, up, let's take this extra weight off. Oh, I'm up in the air. Nope, they're going down again. Whoop. All right. Let me get off before every folks try to jump on the seesaw. Oh, man. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you know, wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again in 2025, what advice would you give to yourself?
That's like, slow down. Slow down. Be present. You don't need to do it all. It is okay. Just start to focus on the things that matter more. That would absolutely be the advice I would give. I was just, you know, going, be there for everyone, do all the things, and to just be able to slow it down. It's okay. It's not a race. You don't need to do it all. What are the things that really matter? And that's something that, you know, I absolutely would say, and to any 25-year-old for that matter, you know, I think we can get caught up and we got to do all the things, be all the things. And it's like, what really matters to you? And you know, start to make choices aligned with that. And you don't need to rush through life.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Right, indeed. You don't have to put on a Sonic the Hedgehog suit. Y'all just go ahead and relax. Chill out, B.I. That's right, indeed. Yeah. That's right, D.B.I. That's right, indeed. Good old get some breath work in you. Take a breather for a second. It'll be all good in the neighborhood. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Besides, that's where the growth happens sometimes anyway. It's like, oh, it's like, hey, it's proof in Stacy's life too. Like, hey, more growth happened because the systems are set up and, hey, work less hours. It's like, didn't try to work all the hours because working all the hours gets you tired, among many other things, if you're not careful.
Yeah. And you miss your life. Like, I think that's a big thing. Your life is happening right now, wherever you're at. Not when you're tired, not when the project's done, not when your kids get older, right now. And you literally don't know what tomorrow will bring. So, you know, starting to be more intentional with that.
Yeah, be more intentional. Life's happening right now. That's right, indeed. So you have to be careful. You never know what you're going to get tomorrow. That's right, indeed. That box of chocolates could be a box of caramels instead to play games with you. And you're like, hey, yeah. You said life's a box of chocolates. Nah, buddy, we did a box of caramels instead. That's right, indeed. Yeah, taking that cliche, flipping it on its head. That's right. You never know what's in this caramel. Oh, that's right, indeed. Who knows? Might put a bunch of turmeric in one of the caramel candy pieces just for the love of it. That's right, indeed. Be like, surprise, buddy. Like, dude, that's spicy. Like, why'd you do that? Like, well, hey, we didn't tell you to eat it. We just said it's going to be a surprise.
You have good analogies.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, man, but hey, name of the game is folks need to keep up with you and all that you do, because that's only a piece of what you share, because I know you got a whole bunch more content to share. So for those who need to jump on Planet Stacy Olson and keep up with all the things that you're doing and cop multiple copies of all your magical books, what's the best way for folks to do so?
You can go to my website, stacyolson.ca, O-N, and everything links to from there. And then if you're on social media, LinkedIn is where I hang out the most.
Woo! Well, you heard that right, folks. Right, indeed. Won't even need an astronaut suit for this one. Y'all, we're going to put a link to all of Stacy's goodies in the show notes so that we can keep up with her and all she's doing, because she's still just getting started, y'all. That's right, indeed. You heard me earlier, folks. She's reading her own book. So that means if you enjoyed hearing Stacy talk, you get to have in your brain for a lot longer, and the metaphorical brainwashing can continue. That's right, indeed. You'll have ultimate balance. You'll have that resilience ready. That's right, indeed. You'll be salivating for the next couple books. Who knows? You might actually do the carry-on promo. Then you might be one of the first 50, the first 100 to get a carry-on. That's right, indeed. And then you'll be carrying on with life. And then you'll feel like you'll be empowered to take it on. Who knows? You might even fight a polar bear while wearing a penguin suit. You never know. You never know, indeed. Don't try that part, last part at home, kids. Well, anyways, any parting words before we close up shop?
No, I just think for who's ever listening to, you know, if you have your book, to keep putting it out in the world and sharing it, and if that's that author who is thinking, oh, am I really ready to share? Is my story good enough? It's there for you, in you, for a reason. And so having the courage and the boldness to put it out there, and not just to put a book out, but to put something that is valuable and enjoyable for your reader, but to have the courage to do that and put it out there, because you're changing someone's life and you might not realize it. And for me, that's been the biggest, most rewarding thing, is when you get that note in your inbox or a LinkedIn message that says, oh my gosh, I don't feel alone. This describes what my everyday is like. And I've done this and it's changed my life. And they just like implemented one thing. But that is very rewarding, to be able to help someone in that way. So just whoever needs that nudge to put their piece of work out in the world, to have the courage to do that. And it's meant to be out there.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.